Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you guys missed it earlier today, we've decided that, you know, we're a new show. We've, you know, JP's been on the show for about 2+ months now, going on 3 months, and we're not a ranking show. At the end of the year, it's kind of become hackneyed that sports talk, you do like, you know, five best Cleveland sports talk moments or five best this, that, the others. That too many shows are doing that.
Yeah.
But what we will do is listen, read, and react to your rankings. We've got two guys in the show who've yet to give their top five rankings. Again, it could be top five Cleveland sports moments, like Daryl Ryder did on Twitter, and which we destroyed it.
We tore it apart.
Yeah, needed to. He had the solar eclipse as the number one.
It's not a sports moment.
But then he shoehorned it in with opening day. I'm sorry. If you want to say the eclipse was cool, fine. It was not a sports moment. Yeah, there were people who have nothing to do with opening day that were like, oh, the sun.
Oh, 5 minutes
yeah,
later.
Yeah. Wow.
It got cold for a second.
If you want to send in your rankings on anything from 2025, we've had show host rankings on air.
Which is very mean, by the way.
Yeah, very mean.
Very mean.
Jim laughed the entire way. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he did.
We've had caller rankings. We've had plenty. Worst Cleveland sports takes. From Xavier P.
Yeah, which was a good list until it wasn't.
And it was really just the Mike Vrabel's the source of all the problems. That was a wild
good
take.
List till it wasn't.
That was a straw man. But say it was still a B minus. But you guys can send those in at Nick Wilson says at Jay Peterlin. We'll get to Jake and to Jax before the end of the show. But I think it's really funny that Kevin Stefanski today was like, I could play DTR and Bailey Zappe.
Do you think it's just because he didn't know what he was going to do? Or do you think he genuinely is wondering in the moment if he has to go ahead and take one out and put another one in?
In
the moment of the game, that is.
I'm aware. I don't know. I think this is such no man's land. Like, he has never been here. He's never been to the Gradkowski part of the section of the season where it's just completely lost. I mean, listen, I understand that the defense is still playing really, really hard. And if he wants to make sure that Sunday doesn't look really, really bad, if he's worried about a blowout, I understand going to Bailey Zappe for no other reason than there's no way anybody in that clubhouse can believe DTR after the last two games. I understand pragmatically.
Yeah, you are giving off big what are we doing out here vibes,
yes,
if you throw DTR out there.
Now, it's logical because you want to, I mean, guys, the Pats could beat the Bills on Sunday. Tennessee could beat Houston on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, you could have, and by the way, even if you only move up one spot.
It's huge.
Even if you stay with a top three pick, it's huge.
One spot could be the difference between spending a first round pick to get a quarterback or not.
Well, and here's the other thing. One spot could also be the difference between you trading down and getting, and basically recouping the Deshaun Watson trade. If you're able, if the Giants need to come up, and let's say the number one, the Giants would get, who's the number one pick right now? The
Patriots.
Titans. Or the Patriots. Good Lord, that was tough.
That's okay.
Let's say it's the Titans who clearly need a quarterback. So the Titans get the number one. Well, there's another quarterback in this draft. If it's Cam Ward or Shador, and that's who the Giants want, getting the number two pick is not the worst thing that can happen here.
Yeah, and you're not getting the Deshaun Watson haul. That was 6 total picks, 3 first rounders.
I mean, Albert you're did
probably,
say.
I know what Albert said. I think Albert is so locked into the season right now. He hasn't readjusted how bad this draft is in totality. And so I think the move up isn't going to be as great as 3 first rounders.
I'll be honest.
Because it was. I mean, RG3 back in the day, that was what it cost. 3 first rounders. I think it'd be like 1 first rounder.
Well, okay, you mean on top of
On top of the actual, yeah.
I'd still take it. If it's a 2026 first rounder, I'd still take it.
Oh, it's a great position to be in. Yeah.
Unless you want to play that you think Arch Manning's going to come out in 2027, which feels super locked into something that's 2 years away. But again, as long as there's a first rounder in the equation and you bump down two spots, I'd be thrilled. How could you not be? But again, I do think there is an element of all this with the Stefanski stuff that I just think there's... I don't think he's ever been here. I don't think he's ever thought he would be here. Like, I think...
The only time he really was coaching what was deemed as like a lost season and he had no games to play for or anything was when Deshaun got to play the final six games, right? Mm-hmm. But even then, your quarterback was locked in. Yeah. You kind of had a weird mission to win games and to try to win games, not only for the confidence of the fan base, but the confidence of Deshaun and everyone with Deshaun. And so there were things to play for.
Yeah, you know, okay, so anybody... So this is another thought that I've had when it comes to... And again, Albert said, every report says Stefanski's coming back. Like, not every report saying Barry's coming back or the structure as is coming back the way it is, meaning maybe some front office changes, maybe some coaching
staff
changes.
Albert said that initially, though. Albert was the one that put them both together.
Yes. But, like, the Vrabel stuff pays credence to this. Is there anyone who worried that maybe this season broke Kevin Stefanski?
Well, so I had initially thought about, like, a couple months ago, the idea when we thought the NFL landscape was going to be better, that it would have been, and this kind of goes to what Lachlan Fora had in his Washington Post article, that people around Stefanski kind of wanted him to be out of there.
Mm-hmm.
However he phrased that, I don't remember exactly what it was. But I, at the time, I remember thinking, okay, if Zach Taylor gets fired and you have a chance to coach Joe Burrow, and there were a couple other dominoes like that that could have been on the table that never materialized the way that we thought it would. And the reality is, this is a bad head coaching class. Or, sorry, bad head coaching opportunity if you want to go ahead and try to move off of a current job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was still appetizing and you still had, let's say, the Cowboys job opened up, let's say the Joe Burrow job opened up, there were other jobs out there. I do wonder if we would have got more steam attached to that.
See, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh,
what,
okay.
What I'm talking about is if Kevin Stefanski, if one, I don't know how he'll, I don't know how you rebound in a locker room after 3-14. I don't. Losing to this level becomes insidious and it becomes really tough to eradicate. I'm not saying it's impossible, by the way, but that's the first mountain you have to climb. I know, again, the defense is playing hard, but keeping those guys, if let's say you get 5 weeks into next year and you're 1-4, that's an uphill mountain.
You're basically describing Dan Campbell for the first stretch. He was 3-13 in year one, and then he started off year two 1-6, and then he just turned it around.
So the difference is, you by that point, you'll be going on the fourth season of 5 seasons. It looks like you're going to have a losing season.
Yeah, I mean, Sheila Ford at that point was ready to fire Dan Campbell, though, and they stuck with it, and then obviously he was able to turn it around. Like I do think a lot of this just comes down to, can you actually win games? And if you start to win games, I do think you rebound with a lot of people, even coming off 3-13.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that's player belief. And again, I'm not trying to say that's what's going to happen, but I think we all just assume, well, player's not good enough, the Deshaun situation, give Kevin great players and he'll be back. I think there's a lot that goes into getting back to winning. And some of that is that this kind of losing, which Kevin has never done in his career as a head coach, it's totally different. If you went 3-13 with the Minnesota Vikings as the tight ends coach, it's not the same damn thing,
right,
as if you are the head coach. So I think that's another thing to watch for next year, is whether it's Kevin as the OC coming back, whether or hiring Clint Kubiak, and then it's the same role. He's like the CEO, but you know, his offense is back. Whether it's his relationship with the players, like, these are all things worth watching going forward. On top of, it does feel a little needle in the haystack trying to find the right quarterback going forward. Like, there is a lot. I don't think,
yeah.
And again, an organization can do this, especially if they're closer to being right than I am. I don't think it's just about Deshaun. I understand that Deshaun certainly took you to levels of non-competitiveness that were hard to come back from. I also understand that this year's a little bit of an anomaly, the amount of injuries you've sustained from start to finish. I mean, we thought last year was bad. You were healthy until about halfway through the season when all hell broke loose.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right? Outside of your quarterback and your running back. But I think it's just a really interesting situation, and I don't know definitively. I think coaches can be ruined. I think quarterbacks can be ruined. I think all the time we just treat these things in a vacuum. You're good, you're bad. And I do think coaches can be ruined in certain situations.
Yeah.
I also think coaches can just be ruined in general.
Now, as much of a Stefanski guy as I am, I'm open to the idea. I mean, I would look at this in any job, right? Like, if we had, Nick, if you and I had 5 years of awesome ratings or even just, like, good enough ratings where we're like, all right, the world tells us we're good together, this works, this is great, and then all of a sudden it just plummeted, and all of a sudden it was just awful, we'd be like, you'd be doubting yourself. Even if you think you know what you're doing is right, that doubt will always creep in. Well, that's human nature.
And I think, we're not the only people to point this out, but Kevin, I mean, after games, this is as down as we've heard, and it makes sense. I'm not reinventing the wheel with this take.
Sure.
But this is the most despondent we've ever seen Kevin. Even though the non-answers have been the same. The energy is not anywhere near it, and from each loss, it does seem like he's taking it harder and harder into the next one. That doesn't mean that Kevin is ruined. I'm simply saying it's something you have to watch going forward, because if this could be a case of, even if you get the right quarterback, if you get him at the wrong time with Kevin, that could be another problem that you have to deal with going forward.
You ever think about how hard it would be to be a 3-win team and do those press conferences like he does? Where you have to stand up there and just can't say, we stink and I know it, and I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for you. This has all gone to hell. I think it'd be incredibly hard.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you.
Like,
I think
genuinely, even like the little things, like him trying as hard as he is to get the kicker situation right for what they've done for 3 weeks.
I think Kevin has done a little bit more bus tossing. He's never come out and said, hey, it's this, that, and the other. But like he's been more like, a little more finger pointing this year than I've ever heard him.
Well, I mean, you can't sit there and tell us everything's awesome, because we obviously won't believe that.
Well, yeah, but I think my point is, like, you know, even in like one, we all know got to coach better is different. Every time you're saying we just have to execute better, you are putting that a lot on the players. That might be true, by the way, but for a guy, like, his salvation is he just hasn't put a name on it. Right? If at any point he had said, man, does that DTR stink? Might have been the thing that got his ass fired, which is probably why.
You can't do it. We never see people do it. That's what makes it interesting to me, is that it just in certain moments, I would have broke. I don't know. I would have broke, and Stefanski hasn't.
Is DTR or Bailey Zappe better than DTR and Bailey Zappe?
Mm-hmm.
And we get back to shredding people's top five. Jake Murren, come on down next on 92.3 The Fan.